big inhale and hold your breath. With your breath held, just appreciate how much Maharaj has come to us. This is unbelievable. How fortunate are we on a pilgrimage? Exhale. Last inhale. And to all our teachers. Om Agyanata Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurumidatam Yena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha. Krishna. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Ina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Radha, Shri Radha Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrijavanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. And to each other. Vancha Kalpa Tarvyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Ramodhijananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maharaj, very honored that you're here. And I also want to thank all the other people that have come, Vikram and Banu and your whole team that's here. You're all incredibly dedicated, sweet, sincere souls. And I'm so happy to have you all in my life, and I get to see you all over the world, really. Thank you.
Oh, excuse me. Yes. Who should speak? What is this?
If you're new to this, this is just sort of like the Rolling Stones have just dropped into your living room. So the best kirtan leaders, my favorite swamis in the world, have just stopped by at the most beautiful place you could imagine.
Yes. So what should we do?
Maybe we sing first.
Yeah. Perhaps we can ask Madhava to sing.
Yes.
You know Madhava? You have heard? Yes. Good. How long?
Thank you. Shinam Sankirtana ki jai. Vrindavan Biharila Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki
jai.
Gangamaya ki
jai.
Vishwapavani Gangamaya ki
jai.
We also want to say it's a very, very auspicious day today. I don't know if you checked your Vedic calendar, but this is the appearance day of Srimati Banu Nandini ji.
How do you go?
We're so happy you're here on your birthday. Marge, what do we do for these next few days of our pilgrimage? How do we, sometimes when you're going through a pilgrimage, people sometimes sort of like, okay, I've had enough of this. And sometimes people, how do we keep our spirits up and our consciousness up, and how can we get the most out of these last few days before we get on that plane?
And fasten the seatbelt for the things to come. Yeah, thank you very much. I will try to say something on this subject matter, how to make best use of this. Then I will ask Raghunath to also contribute, and perhaps also our Goswami from Nandagram can also say something at the end. Good. Do they know? Let us chant just three times the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya verse.
And if you can't hear back there, you can come as close as you can. Okay.
It works very nice if you put your hands like this. And then pronounce very nicely. I will say it one time alone so that you catch the tonality and everything, and then three times, please, together. The question is in the sky and hovers over our heads. How can we make the best out of our remaining days on our pilgrimage? Or how can we receive what is available here in terms of spiritual inspirations? When we met first, we means you and me, under the bridge or by the bridge, it was the Lakshman or Ramjula?
Ramjula
bridge, where Raghunath led that supremely attractive kirtan, where even the devatas danced. I wanted to bring to your attention that holy places and also spiritual practices and bhakti have their own inherent shakti,
I think you remember the Sanskrit word for this Shakti, the Vastu Shakti. Yes, Vastu Shakti. Please say Vastu Shakti. Then it remains in the head. In spiritual life, we heard there are mostly two aspects at play. One is our own effort, and the other is the grace or the kripa, which flows from these, let us call them here, agents that are full of this divine energy. And the art of so where is in yoga practice, hatha yoga practice, it's mostly people understand I have to make my own effort to get this asana right, and some are so determined that they hurt themselves in the name of yoga just to make an Instagram photo of themselves. I got this, you know. So while in other yoga practices, not just hatha yoga practice, but other spiritual practices, the main focus is often on your own effort, your own cheshta. In bhakti, the main emphasis is on becoming recipients of that divine shakti, that kripa shakti, which can be given by these divine agents. If I may make this in the form of a gesture, there is the pushing force which we do, my efforts, my intelligence, my abilities, my skills, I all put this together and make now a huge effort. But then there is the receiving force, and because I'm also a little thirsty, I will make this here. See, when there is a glass that can receive, this energy is very nicely spent. But when there is no glass, oops, it's wasted. If you forget everything, you might remember that. It's a little artful demonstration. So, yes, the divine energy flows of Mother Ganga, but can every one of us receive it? Do the bungee jumpers? I heard this, a bungee tower imported straight from Germany. I cannot imagine that this is true, but because I've never seen such things, and I come around often, but can they receive it? Or is their consciousness mostly focused somewhere else, perhaps on a thrilling adventure with a nice vista? No. Can those people who come for partying here and get and drink sufficient quantities of beverages here, can they really receive that shakti? I believe they receive something of it, but if you open up, if you know the art of opening up, then this can be done much better. You can bring your glass and you can get all of it, or all of it. Your capacity, our capacity is small, but we can get as much as we human beings can obtain of that divine shakti. Raghunath gave a very, very wonderful insight on this. He said, the ego must step away. Do you remember his wonderful example that there is a flow, and he compared it to a maverick wave near San Francisco? Mm-hmm. Yes. And everything is wonderful as long as you are on the wave and get through. I learned a new English word, through the barrel, you know, shoot through it. But everything becomes hell if you go against that wave. I have heard previously that people lose their life when they get under the crashing waves and they drown, or they are sometimes pushed on the ground of the ocean. It's so powerful, and knocked unconscious and are found later, unfortunately, dead, or are severely crippled, or so on. So yes, when we come to the holy Dham, our ego needs to step to the side. I think perhaps you have noticed this by now, that when you were able to do this, it was a wonderful time. But when you got into a quarrel with a rickshaw driver, we agreed on this price, fixed price in America, you know, and you got the Indian responses, and you got into a fight, and all, and your day got cloudy. Every pilgrim knows my ego has stepped aside. So that's where we are now at the in answering this question. There is, you need to be a receiver, and for that the ego, which is not a good receiver, needs to step aside. And you let us see if we can give even other aspects to this question, because this is now a very favorable environment, and we might explore this a little bit more. I would like to really answer this with telling you another story. We must go back into the 16th century for this. There was a foreign rule in India. It was a Muslim rule, and there was one emperor who was particularly, I mean, they were all very great statesmen, and they overtook the country very easily. This emperor was, his name was Shah Jahan. And do I remember, did he build the Taj Mahal?
Yes, he built it.
Yeah, he built the Taj Mahal. You have seen in catalogues of India this beautiful building, marble structure in Agra, no? Taj Mahal. For his beloved queen, one of his queens, Taj. And so he had these rulers took the intelligence, local intelligence, and integrated them or incorporated them into their rulership. And one mostly of these local people were brahmanas, highly learned in the scriptures, with a very subtle intelligence. So one of these brahmanas, I'm sorry, his name is Jagannath, he madly fell in love with a Muslim lady and compromised his principles. He ate non-veg, which is a no-go for brahmanas. He drank, and he had all kinds of romantic experiences with a lady. And as a result, his own community, the brahmanas, expelled him. They said, "You are no longer a brahmana, you are too much. You have become something else." And they stripped him of all his rights. Brahmanas are maintained by society because they teach. You're meditating, I'm sorry. Yes. So this is problematic. We know of one Brahmana in the Vedic times. His name is Ajamil. Perhaps you have heard.
he also had a fall down, as we would say in our language, and he was expelled, and he could only make his living by becoming a criminal. He stole from people. He intimidated them when they were passing through a forested area, and he robbed, etc. So Pandit Raj, he was known as the king of the Pandits, became the king of the stool eaters, you know. He was really getting down. He was degenerating. But he had a turn of mind. He thought, oh, I lost really all my practices. I lost all my spirituality. I lost my wittiness, my insights. And as a last refuge, he says in his own words, mantras have turned away from me. When I try to light a Vedic yajna fire to invoke auspiciousness and clear my bad karma, the fire dies and sizzles out. When I approach the mighty rulers, Shiva, Brahma, they turn away from me. They don't want to have anything to do with me. I'm so fallen that I have no shelter amongst humans, amongst rituals, amongst spiritual practices. Nothing, nothing, nothing works for me. Now I have only one refuge. Can you imagine what that could be? Krishna, well, one devoted soul says Krishna. It's not what Jagannath did, but something like this he did. Your answer is half correct. Chanting the Mahamantra. Well, he says mantras turn away from him. They don't work for him. I think he was expressing this in great dejection. You can always chant the Mahamantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. Surrender, says another voice, heavenly voice here. Everything you say, what he did is he said, only you, Mother Ganga, can relieve me from my mountains of sin that are crushing my heart. And he went to Varanasi.
You were?
Yeah, we were in Varanasi. Yeah, where you also were? Oh, this man knows the right places. And sat at the banks of Mother Ganga, at the top of a bathing ghat that had, this is significant, 52 steps. You know, from where the Ganga flew up to where he sat, 52 steps. And he chanted prayers in praise of Mother Ganga. Prayers which said things like, of all those who can bestow blessings, you are taking the topmost position because you bestow blessings upon everyone who comes close to you, even those who just catch your breezes, you know, the winds. He said, it's better to be a simple turtle? and fish in your waters than to be a king somewhere else. Because it is you who originate from the lotus feet of the Lord, and you can bring everyone back to the lotus feet of the Lord. So as he was chanting this amazing prayer, he noticed whenever he had completed with one Sanskrit composition, Mother Ganga came one step up. how many steps there were? 52. Yes. Second verse, she came a second step up. Mm. When he finally completed his 52nd verse, Mother Ganga was up to here, to him, and as he ended his composition, she came and embraced him with her wonderful waters and mercy. He was surrounded with Ganga, only Ganga. And when his Brahmin communities, the member of his Brahmin communities, saw this what they considered to be a miracle, they said, you are accepted. This is a divine omen, a divine sign of that you are accepted, and you are welcome back in the community of Brahmanas. It was, yes, it was a sign, but it was more than a sign. It showed that Mother Ganga is, the Ganga is a conscious entity. And only conscious entities or persons can actually reciprocate with other conscious entities, if they are conscious, aware, then they can give you great blessings. Blessings that you cannot obtain on your own efforts, or as you would say in America, on your own steam. It is blessings which you can receive, provided you bring your cup. And this brings us, he had a cup, he was open, he had taken full shelter, and he got everything from Ganga, everything and more. So we therefore will have to ask the question, what does it mean to receive this Kripa Shakti, which comes from these divine personalities? What do I have to do? Already we know one thing, which nicely came out in our satsang at the Ram Jula Bridge. Our ego has to step aside, or to put it in other words, we have to come to the school of humility. No? That is what you... humility, my dear everyone, is not lip service. It has to be done with body, with the mind, and with the heart. Then only the speech means something. Oh, I'm your humble servant. Oh, I want to do something. Oh, you are so great. I'm so, so whatever. To practice humility in the body means to do something for others, to serve them, even menial things like giving Bob a blanket because he was cold. I think that's why we pay, why you have this wonderful invocation, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhascha, where you, the idea is, don't just say it. Do something with your body. Do something with the mind. The mind, you have to make a reality check. The mind is your best PR agent. It will always justify everything you do. I have to say like this. I have to do like this. Is it really like this? Or is it just your perspective on reality? And is your perspective the only perspective? What happens with the other 8,400,000 species? With your heart, you have to practice humility. The best way is that when you do something wrong, or in American language, if you blow it, Yeah, I'm trying to learn your language. Then excuse yourself. Then repent. Oh, again, this ego got the better half of me. Oh, again. And then your words mean something. Words without meaning are for people who are a little conscious, they are not appealing at all. Words should have meanings. The inside should be, the outside should be like the inside. So the humility, and I think you can all copy that invocation in case you don't have it, that mantra, Vanchakalpa, I'm offering my most humble obeisances to all the devotees, and then practice during your wakeful moments or your day to be there with your body, to serve others, to make with your mind a reality check when the press agent comes, PR agent, we say, comes up, and repent when you did something wrong. And then, yes. I wanted to come to the close of my presentation today. What can we do to make best use of the inherent Shakti of holy places, of sacred Sangha or association with spiritually minded people, with each other? What can we do to make most out of the spiritual practices? You do a lot of them with Raghunath. I'm sure, yes, I know him, and he will have structured your day in such a way that there is ample opportunity for spiritual practices. Well, as we said with this simple analogy, you have to open your heart, and that happens through conscious spiritual through a practice called mana sangharanam. You need to bring your mind, which is the mind seats on the seat of the heart, just like your soul sits on the seat of the heart. But the mind often distracts us, zoop, so that we are not there in our spiritual place, aware that we are a soul, and that the Supreme Soul is with us. The mind runs out into the world. Oh, what is about my purchase? Have I purchased everything? Oh my God, this suspicious rumbling in the stomach is the first indicator of embarrassing dysentery. The mind distracts us from spiritual practices and runs out into the world. So some mana sangharanam, you have to bring the mind to your spiritual practices. The chanting will only work if you chant with attention. And it's not so difficult to chant with attention. Our mind will wander, but what we have to do is, Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Just now I forget the Sanskrit. Wherever the mind wanders due to its restless nature, you have to bring it back to the chanting. This is what I personally appreciate about Madhava's kirtan. He may not be the most perfect human being, faultless in all ways. Who is? But when he sits down for the kirtan, do you see? Everything goes in the mantra. He is only there with the mantra. Have you seen? Please do not be embarrassed. Yes. Yes. And then some Shakti is there. We feel also drawn. No? During our
spiritual practices. I have also seen that as a strength of our Raghunath. He is, when it comes to spiritual life, he is very focused and he is very honest. Have you seen? There is no deception, you know, no pretense. And therefore there is Shakti in the Kirtan. And when he is even sitting under the Ramjula, or nearby the Ramjula bridge, people come and want to dance like that man. But the man was serious. It was not a crazy dancing. Mm. But it looked culturally slightly different from what we are used to. And the best kirtan, I want to put a poster of you in the temple. So mana sangharana, focus, or in another word, practice attention. The next thing is be attentive when you are here, when you sit here, be conscious. Don't, for instance, leave garbage after worshipping. I was chanting at the Ganga, and then a man came with a lamp and offered the light to the Ganga and chanted beautiful prayers. And when he was finished, I sent him the gesture, wow. And then he went and came back after perhaps a minute or so with a huge bag of garbage and dumped it into the Ganga. Gosh. And I said, please allow me. I don't want to complain or something. Can you just explain to me how it is possible for you to worship on one side and then dump the garbage? I'm from a different culture. I just am helpless. I'm bewildered. Can you please give me... do you find nothing objectionable in that? I was sincerely asking. I was not up for criticism. I wanted to understand the difference between our two cultures. And he said, you know, my house is very clean. In the house, very clean. Outside. Somewhere the garbage needs to go. I thought it was a lack of awareness. Perhaps I'm wrong, but be conscious as you go. Catch the ego, catch the mind when it goes into places where it's harmful for your pilgrimage, into memories, into desires, into fantasies. Bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. The second thing is sincerity. Don't play a role. You can get much further by being honest and sincere. Perhaps it is sometimes necessary in the world to give a better image of yourself than it's actually there. When you apply for a job, for instance, you might say, I'm highly skilled in many ways. See here, see here, see here. But when it comes to receiving, this pretense is like a coat. The coating goes and closes everything. Come as your real self. Don't come as this how you are. It's good enough. Whatever. This is the what we get from Pandit Pandit what was the name? Pandit Raj Jagannath. No, we get this. He said, "I'm I blew it." He was sincere in his prayers. And the last is connect with your intention.
Why are you here? What brought you in your first place? Never lose track of your intention, and then your intention will be your best friend that guides you through the remaining days. So we have three things. Intention, please repeat after me.
Intention.
In Sanskrit, it's sankalpa.
Sankalpa.
We have sincerity. Please
sincerity.
Be yourself. No? And we have attention. Please say
attention.
Then you remember. All this comes together in a formula. Again, my new word, a nifty formula. Isha, that's the name of the Lord. Isha. There is an Upanishad, the Ishopanishad. Isha, repeat.
Isha.
Thank you. I for intention, S for sincerity, and A for attention. This is how I would answer this. Obviously, I have thought about this before, this question. So I have made an, listen to this new word, acronym. Ah. From it, yes. So this is what I would say. This is how you can connect with the Vastu Shakti. Of these holy places, and you will travel, you won't be at the Ganga, then in the bus or whatever vehicle you choose, you have each other, sacred Sangha, make it a sacred Sangha, keep it sacred. And so, and also, yeah, there are spiritual practices. So you have to connect with to all of these with an open heart, and that open heart is there as long as you are connected with your spiritual intention, your own sincerity, and you need to be attentive whenever your mind will go. How could it do something else? How could the wind ever stop to blow? This is what winds do. It will, and you should not be desperate when it happens. When the mind is gone, bring it back. Mana sangharana to your intention, and you will be the most open glass, in fact, not a glass, a nectar pot, where the nectar comes with you, and then you will be able to, when you come back, everyone will say, wow, you look different, you're more skinny. This happens to everyone who comes back from India. But you look at something is different with you. And then when, oh, you speak different, oh, you react different. Why should we always be the same? It's so boring. So incredibly boring to be always the same. So with this, I want to turn to our Raghunath. I had a question in the taxi when I came here, which I thought is good for the Sangha. I wanted to ask you, when you chant, what is your personal inner orientation? I know that you are very thoughtful person, you think a lot. Sometimes your mind is, like all of us, perhaps not your very, very most intimate, best friend. And what do you do when you chant, or when you approach your spiritual practices? What do you do with your mind? We all have a mind. I think when we ask how can we do most of our stay, we have to invariably ask the question, how can we avoid flunking? What to do with the mind, which is there. This is a good question. Is it relevant?
I think it's exactly relevant. Thank you, Maharaj, for speaking. I love hearing from you. The more I hear from you, the more I realize I need to hear from you more.
No, I know nothing.
Madhava Prabhu, thank you for that kirtan. Yeah. The more I listen to your kirtan, the more I'm like, I've got to listen to this kirtan even more. I've been playing that same harmonium, but it doesn't sound that good. I'm looking at me. Is his fingers doing different things than my fingers do?
Yeah, he does something, something like this, no?
But it's also his voice, his sincere calling out when he sings. I think exactly what you said about chanting, what do I do with my mind when I chant, what am I thinking of, what's my intention with my mind? And it goes back to what you said with the cup, is the cup's got to receive it. There's got to be a vessel to receive it. So a lot of the work of the chanting is not when I'm chanting. It's in the course of the day. When I first started taking on people on pilgrimage, it was just like sort of a traveling yoga teacher, and I'd make an announcement after class. Okay, everybody, I'm going to India. Ever want to go to Spiritual India? You can sign up after class. There's limited spaces. Blah, blah. And so I'd get, you know, people from Long Island and people from Jersey and people from, you know, Boston. And we'd have a whole collection of people with a whole collection of desires in their mind of what to expect. And it was very, very tough to manage expectations and what they were getting into, and what is this? Is it a luxury trip? Are we going to be backpacking? Are we climbing Mount Everest? People were just completely. So after the third pilgrimage, I had to like sincerely pray about like how I'm going to keep these people on the road, so to speak, to get the most out of it. And I started, you know, just really rereading the Shikshastakam, these teachings of Chaitanya. And I sort of like pulled from there a contract that everybody follows. And if you want to join the trip, you get the contract. And the contract, the first one is, and we repeat after me, I will not criticize.
I will not criticize.
You want to go on the trip, you can't criticize anyone. Even someone who's driving you crazy, you can't criticize them. You can't even criticize yourself, because some people are very used to criticizing themselves on a regular basis. If you can just do that, your whole trip will change and have a different experience. The second one is, I am tolerant.
I am tolerant.
Tolerant means in a situation like the bus might go down the cliff, or we might catch a boulder, or there might be a guy snoring his mouth or his head off next to me in my room. I didn't want this guy. They put me with this guy. And now I got to be on the whole trip with this guy. I'm tolerant. We're tolerant of our situational experience. That changes everything. Intolerance makes you miserable. You can complain. There's always something to complain about, especially from a Western vantage point in India. And those who are intolerant, they just complain. Ever meet a person that complains? It's miserable to be around them. First thing you do, some people are coming toward you. Here they come. They're going to start complaining about something. The third one is very powerful. Repeat after me. I take no offense.
I take no offense.
It's very easy to just be offended by people. What was he thinking? Why was he doing that? Come on, man. You're bumping into me. Give me some more space. And why did they say that? What does she mean by that? And it's just like I'm collecting a list, a file of resentments in my heart. Doesn't do well on pilgrimage. The next one is, with my own issues, I have to be quick to apologize. I can't be as obtuse as I usually am. I'm quick to apologize.
Quick to apologize.
Yeah, I can't be so obtuse like I usually am. I'm a little sensitive. I said that yesterday. I used it as an analogy, and I used you in the analogy. Was that... Forgive me if that hurt your feelings. I used you. No, it's okay. The next one is, see, this is my problem. I tend to size up everybody. She's got issues. She's got issues. She's got an ego. Who does he think he is? Instead of being that guy, flip it. I see the good in others. I see the good in others, especially in good people. I see the good in good people. You guys are all good people. It's actually pretty easy to see your good. And the PhD in that is seeing the good in people who drive you crazy.
Oh.
That's the PhD, doctorate. So seeing the good in others and letting them know it. Letting them know. You know what? Catherine, you sang on the bus yesterday. And Ayla sang on the bus yesterday. And I was just sitting there gabbing away with Mukesh. And to hear that as the soundtrack, that was so nice to hear that. Everybody singing in the back like that. Thank you for that. I'm trying to see your good, but also letting you know I appreciate that. And that sort of changes a person's heart, too. Matter of fact, even me appreciating them changed your hearts, didn't it? It's something about hearing someone appreciate somebody else changes the listener's heart. It was good for me to say it. I'm sure they could appreciate it. And other people who hear that, it changes their heart. And the last one is in appreciation. Repeat after me. I'm grateful.
I'm grateful.
And I keep a tally of my blessings. It's the opposite of being entitled. Entitlement means I'm expecting this. And I'm on a pilgrimage. I should be getting this type of food. There was no sweets with our lunch yesterday. I was a little upset about that. You know, we're flying through the airport. It's a travel day. It's set on the itinerary, 3 meals a day. We're in the airport. Where's my second meal? I had a very detailed itinerary on my first trip. And I'm not a detailed person. And I was just throwing, and I remember writing, I was like, I don't know, flower garland making? I don't know. At the end of the trip, someone just goes, we never made a flower garland. I was like, yeah, we never did. We never did. You're right. I forgot about that. Once I wrote it, I never read it again. So instead of feeling entitled, the entitled person is never happy. And the grateful person always feels like, oh, I've got so much. They feel a little, in a beautiful way, in debt because they want to give back. So just opting in, clicking that button. Do you opt into these? If you opt into that, already your pilgrimage will be peaceful.
Wonderful.
But to actually receive the Ganga, it's not just, I wrote that so you'll be peaceful, so you don't drive me crazy and drive each other crazy. I did. That too. But it also, it makes you like a sponge to receive the Ganga. Right? Because otherwise the Ganga would just see like a river. Oh, there's something in the river. Oh, there's some garbage in the river. You won't even understand the Ganga. I've been to the Colorado River. That was even better. I was in the Hudson. I have a friend who swam the Hudson. No, this is different. To really understand the Ganga from the vantage point of what it actually is. When Maharaj is giving us, he's giving like us a window to the spiritual world, where previously I was just seeing a wall. And so this is all foundational stuff. So how do I chant with? It's what I have to do on my downtime that makes going to make my chanting effective. If I'm harboring resentment, if I'm a little complainy, if I'm critical of other people, whatever I do with my chanting is going to mean I can go to thousands of kirtans. I can wear beautiful flower garlands. I can have a rose quartz hanging around my neck. You know, whatever spiritual thing I do will mean nothing if those basic six principles can't be followed. I'll receive nothing. And I'll waste my time. But I have this much knowledge. I would like to hear from Krishnamurti Goswami what he would think. How could I reframe that question, Maharaj? Because I sort of tied your question into your...
Yeah. But...
Wonderful answer, no? I think some of you took notes, no? We are recording, yes. I mean, this is really, it condenses a lot. I think we can even practice this outside of this pilgrimage.
That's the trick. I'm tricking them. Because it feels so good to do it.
Yeah, all this is like a lift that lifts you from the material perspective to a more spiritual perspective, and then you can receive. And no, like always, I really don't say, I say this out of the spontaneous enthusiasm of my heart. It is very nice to hear what you can do in your way, is you can relate high spiritual concepts to people so that they have something to work with. No, that is very unique gift, Krishna's empowerment. So what should Krishna Murari speak about? Perhaps you go to Vrindavan. Why doesn't he glorify Vrindavan? That's his subject.
Yeah. We're going to Vrindavan. We always go last on the pilgrimage. Can you glorify Vrindavan for us? It's what you do best.
Dheyam sada paribhavak namabhisht doham Tithaspadam shivavirañcinutam sharanyam Bhratyardiham pranatapalabhavabdhipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanarvindam. This is a text from Srimad Bhagavatam which expresses that I worship the lotus feet of the Lord, which is like a pilgrimage place even for Shiva and Brahma. And why do I worship the lotus feet of the Lord? Because for me, they are like Bhavabdi Potam, like a boat in a big ocean. And when we have a boat which can really make us cross through the ocean, the journey, the pilgrimage becomes successful. And actually, what Maharaj really pointed about those three things about Isha: intention, sincerity, and attention. I want to add upon that what we were yesterday at a wonderful place where, just on the banks of Ganga, little forward from here, we are at the place where Ganga is flowing, Bhagavati Ganga is flowing. And in this area also, Jnana Ganga flows, the Ganga of knowledge. And we were brought to a very wonderful place where this conversation between Sanat Kumaras and Sri Narada Muni happened. So something really wonderful came up because there's this conversation described in Sri Padma Purana, which is more or less like a three step success formula for pilgrimage or for life. And we all of us, even during our pilgrimage, we have been doing that, but we just have to be little mindful of it, and we have to practice along Isha: intention, sincerity, and attention. And what does that is the three step formula. When Sri Narada Muni is doing this conversation with Bhakti Devi, she just asked a wonderful question to Narada Muni that you know, this yuga,
this time where everyone is not taking to knowledge, not taking to bhakti, not taking to renunciation, everybody is just falling down. Why did Sri Parikshit Maharaj allow this age of Kali to come? If there was no age of Kali, the other ages, people were so pious, people were so good, why did this Kali Yuga came? So Narada Muni is replying that although there are so many bad qualities in this age of Kali, there are so many bad qualities, but there is one very good thing about Kali Yuga. And what is that? That is, yat phalam nasti tapasa na yoge na samadina tat phalam labate samyak kalau keshava kirtanath. That in the other ages, you have to do so many austerities, so much of yoga, so much of austerities, so much of chanting of different mantras and everything. But in this age of Kali, if you just chant the name of Keshava, the names of Krishna, and how do you do that? Kalau Keshava Kirtanad, you do Kirtan. And when you do that kirtan, something special happens. So the first part of the formula is doing kirtan, which we are doing. The second is, when Sri Narada Muni saw Bhakti Devi, Bhakti Devi was so effulgent, so beautiful, so nourished, because Narada Muni saw her in Vrindavan, or in the holy place. So Vrindavanasya Sanyogat or Tirthasya Sanyogat, by the association of Tirthas, by going on pilgrimages to different Tirthas like Ganga, to Varanasi, to Gaya, to Badrinath, to Himalayas, and especially to Vrindavan, which is the highest place, even for the holiest places. Once, you know, I want to go on a little beautiful story that the king of all holy Tirthas, Prayagraj, where the three holy rivers, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati, they meet. He, every year he organizes a court where all the other holy Tirthas come to him and they give some gifts. They pay their respects to the king. You know, it's the usual practice. On that day, all the holy Tirthas came to pay their respects to Prayagraj, the king of holy Tirthas. But one holy Tirtha didn't come. And who was it? That holy Tirtha was Sri Vrindavan. And when Prayagraj saw this, noticed this, and he asked the Lord, that you made me the king of holy Tirthas, and everyone comes to me, but not one holy Tirtha is not coming to me. And Vrindavan, and that is Vrindavan, Vrindavan is not coming to me. The Lord replied to the king of holy places, Prayagraj, that I have made you king of all the holy Tirthas, but not the king of my own house. You are not king of my own house. So Vrindavan is the house, the personal home of Krishna. Where we are going to go on the ending part of our pilgrimage. So the second part of the formula is, the first is Kalau Keshava Kirtanad, doing kirtan. The second thing is Tirtha Sanyogat, getting into the association of holy places, where we see holy places, holy people. Now the third thing which is like the essence of this beautiful conversation was Sada Sevya, Sada Sevya, Srimad Bhagavati Katha. That every day in our life, we should be serving Srimad Bhagavatam or the holy Shastras, hearing them or reciting them. Yascha Shravana Matrena Harishchittam Niveshati. just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or the holy wisdom or the ancient wisdom, what happens? Harish Chittam Niveshati, that Krishna or Sri Hari comes to our heart and he takes his place, because his place is in our hearts. And there's a way given by a blind poet, you know, how, you know, like when you have to do these digital payments, so you have a gateway. Yes. So that the payment from this place goes through the gateway and reaches the place. In the same way, a blind poet from Vrindavan, his name is Sur Das. In one of his song, he is giving that gateway. The gateway to ask for shelter. Because why do we come to the holy places? Because we are not learned, we are not wise, we don't have good karmas, we have nothing. But we just want ourselves to be accepted by those holy places, by those holy people, by that holy atmosphere which is present in the holy places. And that is basically like he has put it in a song. And I will try to sing that song. And if you like it, I will give it to Raghunath Prabhu and he can share with all of you. And the song is Das to tihare Jo das to tihare दूर पास तो तिहारे आम खास तो तिहारे हैं. The title of the song expresses, O my dear Lord, I am yours. If I'm sad, I'm yours. If I'm happy, I'm yours. If I'm far away, I'm yours. If I'm very close to you, I'm yours. Deen to tihare, matihin to tihare. जो नवीन तो तिहारे प्राचीन तो तिहारे हैं. Oh my dear Lord, if I'm fallen, if I'm so fall down, I'm yours. If I'm so higher, I'm yours. If I'm new, I'm yours. If I'm very old, I'm yours. क्रूर तो तिहारे गुणपूर तो तिहारे राचे नूर तो तिहारे साचे सूर तो तिहारे हैं. इफ आई एम काइंड आई एम योर्स. इफ आई एम क्रूअल आई एम योर्स. इफ आई एम यूनिक I'm yours. If I'm simple, I'm yours. Payak tihare, yashgayak tihare, ho sahayak hamare, hum payak tihare hain. Payak tihare, that means, oh my Lord, I'm nothing. If I'm a great warrior, I'm yours. If I'm a coward, I'm yours. Oh my dear Lord, I'm nothing. I'm just a recipient of your mercy. I'm just a beggar at your door. I'm just a recipient of your mercy. I am a mere singer of your glories. And oh my dear Lord, you are my greatest supporter. And I am nothing. I am just yours. And I am just a recipient of your mercy. I am a beggar at your door. And please, my dear Lord, just accept me as yours. So this blind poet who lived in Vrindavan is said to be Bhuto Sur So Bhayo Na Hoye, that there will never be a poet like Sur Das. There was no one like this, and there will be no one like him who has expressed so much with his deep heart. Although he could not see with the eyes, he would always say that Sur kaha kahe duvid andhro, that what can Sur Das say? He's blind in two ways. He's blind physically and he's blind physically. But he was a part, he was a participant into Krishna's own spiritual realm. Because even without having that eyes, he could express so much. The eyes are limited. The eyes cannot see beyond. They can see something, but not everything. But when we go through that gateway of finding shelter in such holy places, we see much beyond what can eyes really see. We are waiting to go to the higher house, the higher home of Krishna, and yeah, look for miracles. That is land of miracles, Vrindavan. And we will hear much more about Vrindavan when we are really there. It's so beneficial to hear about something which is just directly in front of you. If I just tell you about Rasagulla, about sweet, that is very sweet, which has a liquid syrup in it, and it's so tasty, and I don't show you any Rasagulla, that is not good. But when I show you Rasagulla and I express things about it, and then I give it to you, you will appreciate it the best. So we will hear about Vrindavan when we are in Vrindavan the most. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know where we found this guy, but we're not going to let him go. That was beautiful. Can we just end with a very short mantra just to have a close? Gaur Krishna, you want to just sing for Hare Krishna just for literally 1 minute, just to just so we drop into ourselves again? I think we're all floating around in the celestial heavens.
Ganga Mai Ki.
Jai.
Jai Jai Sri Radha.
Maharaj Ki
Jai.
We do not feel entitled. We've done nothing to deserve all of you coming here. Maharaj, I don't deserve to have you here. Coming in a car on that horrible road, getting bounced up and down. I've done nothing to deserve you taking that trip here. But I'm incredibly grateful. I'm not entitled to nothing. I'm entitled to sand thrown in my eyes. That's what I'm entitled to. But I'm not entitled to you being here, but I'm very grateful. We're all very grateful you came here this morning.
Thank you very much, but we know what your service is and what your heart is. And we are, please always order, you will not like the word order, but please always invite us. We gladly come, gladly. It is with affection and with happiness we come. And so, you know, it is known all over the, our movement that Raghunath, with his wisdom of the sages and his various other programs, this pilgrim program, the things he does in Super Soul, and so on, has really done so much for the spread of this idea of bhakti, and therefore we are always very, 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 very naturally drawn to assist in any way. Haribol.
Haribol. Thank you.